Let us continue to read in Malachi. We will read in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Malachi 2, 8 and 9. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Before, we had the covenant of God with Levi. This is what the Lord wants to have for his priesthood, a covenant that's being kept by both parties. The Lord gave us his promises so that he fears me and he honored me. That's our part that we should do as priests. We heard what it means to serve as a priest and to be in this covenant. But then when the priesthood fell away and all these things that are spoken in Malachi and in the old covenant, in the Old Testament, are as a warning for us so that we don't do the same thing. Because spiritually, we are in the same danger as the priesthood at this time. That's why the warnings are for us. The Lord gives us this covenant, and he warns us that we hold fast to this covenant. And such a falling away, a degradation, what happened to the priesthood, it didn't just happen right away. It was a slow process. When you get off the way, you turn away from the way. Yeah, you're still kind of in the right directions, but after a few turns, you're lost. One time I was hiking. First, I came off the way, and after 2 hours, we were at the same spot where we started. Only the one who was leading us to the same spot, and we didn't even notice. We thought we're going by the map and we thought we're on the right way, but we were completely off. That's how sometimes spiritually we are. It starts a little, one going to the one side, going to the other side, but then you're going the completely wrong direction. And then the Lord has to really judge the priesthood very harshly. And when we have this covenant with the Lord, in the beginning, you're very willing, but after time, you're being tested, how faithful you are. Yeah, over a long time, it's not just one day you're faithful, but that we have to be faithful is over a long time. And in Isaiah, there are some good verses that show how you can leave the right way. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. It is good that there's such a voice that tells us the way. We don't just want to turn right or left. And how we heard that the turning right or left is like the hair is too long or too short. Either you're too religious or you're too loose. And same it's for the priesthood. The Lord gives us a lot of laws and commandments. There's the side where we say, okay, let's be loose. Or today I don't turn to the Lord. But tomorrow I'll do it even more. Or maybe today I can do it, but tomorrow even more. But next day you're going down even more and you're turning away more. And then another day it happens again. That's how I lost a lot of things that I started. I became too loose and then I lost them. That's what happens when you have your hair too long. If you go to the left, yes. Yeah, left and loose. Right and has the same letter as religious. The other experience is when I have the commandments and I have such a high expectation and I want to do it with my own strength. And then some people make a plan when I pray and exactly what do I do, and they plan out everything and then they try to do it. And you keep the commandments and then you lose the life. And that's also not the way of the Lord. Then you do it outwardly. But the Lord is not in your heart, or the heart is not serving the Lord. And then all these things become a religion and a burden. And it becomes a burden to serve the Lord. And because you don't do it with your heart, but and with your own strength. And then you can't be righteous. And the solution is that we come to the Lord, that He gives us this life. And He keeps this covenant in us. If we become too loose, we have to take His admonition. But then we have to take the sin offering. And then I can turn in this matter. The Lord showed me one thing on the conference where I was too loose in my thoughts. And He showed me, yeah, you're too loose. And that's where I need the Lord as my sin offering. There was some time where I worked with the Lord and I noticed in some areas I became too loose. Lord, I need you as my sin offering to get out of this and not be too loose. There's a good example for the degradation. You can see in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. When they came back from Babylon, Israel was 70 years captured in Babylon, and then they came back. And that's what you can read in Ezra and Nehemiah. And you could see there, they came back. And in the book of Ezra, they talked about rebuilding the temple. And in Nehemiah, they built the city wall. But in this time, it was that the degradation continued, although they were building the city. They did a lot of things without God, but in their hearts, there were different things, especially for the priesthood. They were degraded. You can see that in the last chapter of Nehemiah. Chapter 13. It wasn't just some people were off the right path. They had three enemies. They had Sanballat, and then Tobiah and Eliash. And so they had different enemies, three enemies, especially Tobiah and another man. They were against the building of the temple and the priesthood. It was a mighty battle. And Tobiah, he comes. They always keep trying. They try to stop the building. And in Nehemiah, they couldn't stop the building of the wall. And then we come to Nehemiah 13, where the wall was built and they finished it. And Nehemiah comes to see the condition. I'm going to read Nehemiah 13, 1 to 5. On that day, they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God, because they had not met the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So it was when they had heard the law that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel. Now before this, Eliashib the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of God, was allied with Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithe of grain, the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers, and the offerings for the priests. And this law, the Lord in verse 1, he gave pretty early that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God, and that they should not have marry them and have children with them. And yeah, give your children to them as their spouses. And then you see here in verse 4, now before the Eliashib the priest, who was authority, had authority over the storerooms, he was a relative of Tobiah. And he was a relative of this enemy of the Israelites. You can't imagine the priesthood. They didn't follow this word that the Lord gave, the commandment. And also Sanballat was a relative of the priests. And because of this, Eliashib prepared a large room for Tobiah, who was an Ammonite, and he got a chamber, a storage room in the temple. You can't imagine. And this room was for the frankincense, the grain offerings, the articles, the tithes of grain, the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers. And that they took all of that out of this room, and Tobiah moved in. You can't imagine it. When I read this, I was shocked, because it's the temple. It shows us personally and also the church. Yeah, we are personally the temple of the Lord. But also it's an image for the church. This shouldn't happen to us. Because if we have a chamber, if we store these things for the Lord, what is meant for God, the tithe, and for the other priests, yeah, we have to have space for that. When you want to bring offerings to the Lord, you have to prepare it. If I only want to remember on Saturday or Sunday what I experienced of the Lord. I got so much corn, first fruits. And suddenly I can't remember that anymore. And I can't find it in the storage room. That's why it's good if we have a storage room where we can keep these things. I put it in the app or in a notebook, but you can't lose it. You have to keep it in the chamber. But in this room, this Tobiah lived there in the temple. That's a big warning for us, that our room, storage room, that the enemy can't move in. Who is the Tobiah in my life? Who is this person or this thing that is in my heart that I have no time, no room to prepare something for the Lord? And that's the question I asked myself many times. And the Lord showed me some things that took away the time for preparation. And then he showed me, you have to change this. For example, I wanted to know what happened in the world, the news, and then I didn't have time to fill the storage room. And then the Lord showed me to take it away, or the internet, or YouTube, or Telegram, or sometimes my belly. Yeah, I was so hungry. Before I was going to bed, I ate something, and then I went to bed. And then that was the end of the day. Doesn't make sense. But then when your belly is calling, or you listen to it, and then the time's gone. That's why we have to turn. And that's how we can see how Nehemiah worked in this. In verse 7, you can see Nehemiah comes back to Jerusalem, and I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms. First, throw it out. Yeah, I deleted the YouTube app and just threw them out. Not just throw it out. And don't just cleanse it. And I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. Yeah, maybe I throw something out, but if I haven't brought the other things in, I have to, for example, I need an app or notebook. Yeah, if it's not ready, yeah, like I have to have the book ready. I have to prepare, and then it's easier to fill the storehouse. And the grain offerings and the incense was brought back. Yeah, purge out the bad things and bring the good things in. That was my example to deal with things like with Nehemiah. To ask the Lord, what are these enemies in my heart? What is in my storage rooms? What is blocking it? Where is the enemy dwelling? That shows how the degradation of the people happened, how they fall away. And another degradation that talks about in Nehemiah is that they do not keep the Sabbath, starting verse 15. And in those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing this day that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath? What made them fall last time, they do it again. They didn't learn their lesson after it happened. Yeah, they were just 70 years in Babylon, but they fall back into the old things. And the same. Yeah, many things keep coming back. And we can't think all one time we overcame, it's not going to happen again. We have to be careful and pay attention. Yeah, we have to withstand the enemy. What they did at that time, they took care of their vineyard and take care of the burdens. On the day that the Lord prepared for rest, they also worked that day and took care of their own business and made some gain. In verse 16, it says, men of Tyre dwelt there also. Yeah, of the men of Tyre, that's a city with it, with a port. It was part of, it's kind of an image, stands for the commercial world. It's for the material things. That's a strong warning. When the Lord tells us to rest, then you shouldn't take care of so many things. I want to do this and buy this and sell this. This is important. In me, often there's the voice, you have to finish this. And then I want to come to the Lord. And then another voice comes, oh, but I have to do this. Yeah, and then I do other things. And the response is, no, you don't have to do it. You can say, no, I don't have to do this. Then the Lord calls me and I come into his presence and keep the Sabbath. And the other thing is that they're so busy all the time that they don't have the time to keep the Sabbath. They don't take time for the Lord. If the Sabbath for today is not just one day, that it means that we come into the rest of the Lord and that we rest from our own works. I like to be busy and do so many things. I always say yes. But to keep the Sabbath, yeah, we have to ask him, what are your works? What shall we say yes to and what do we say no to? What are the works that the Lord has prepared for me to do? And they didn't do that. They were so busy on the Sabbath that they had no time. From morning to evening, they were just working off their list that they had to do. But they didn't even know whether the Lord liked it. It's better to not do anything and then ask the Lord what to do and follow the Lord. That's what it means to keep the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And Nehemiah had a very good way to deal with the situation. I will read from verse 19 to 22. It is a fight to come into the rest of the Lord. The enemy doesn't want us to come to the Lord to keep the Sabbath. So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and a charge that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. That's good to post someone. When these traitors and the desire to do something, it's good to have a watchman. Yeah, your desire to do something will, yeah, close the gates. And the Lord says, no, it's Sabbath. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. Amen. It's good. Don't be too nice. Yeah, they just waited for one night. Maybe I let them in there. if they waited one, two nights, but they weren't supposed to come in, don't give in. Yeah, sometimes in prayer, I feel, okay, I should do this. I reject it. And then the second time it comes and third time, I give in. But when I look back, how often the enemy got me to leave the rest of the Lord by being so, trying so many times. And he said, if you do it again, I come out, I'll put you down. We can't be too nice. And in verse 22, and I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember, yeah, we shouldn't let the enemy into the gates. It's good to discern what are the things in my life that are not coming out of the rest of the day of the Lord. When you can cleanse yourself from this, then you can continue to serve the Lord. And the third point, and that was included in the first point, the mixture. And that in verse 23, kind of, it continues. In those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one of the other people. They didn't follow the commandment. They married other women. Although they were already married, after some time, they turned away from the commandment. In the beginning, there were a few who secretly got another wife and didn't tell anybody. But when you see in Nehemiah how many there were, and it wasn't secretly anymore. How many wives were there? Do you remember? It was about 20,000 wives. And in the end, and it was outward, open, that even the priests had married some of these women. And they despised this commandment of the Lord, that the Lord really hated this. The Gentiles around us, it's an image for the world. If you desire a wife from Ammon or Moab, you love something else than the Lord. There are so many things in the world that we can love. In the beginning, they're small, yeah, just a little bit, and you hide it, but then it becomes bigger. And in the end, the wife moves in and she lives there, and you just accept it. And then, yeah, suddenly the enemies live with the people. And what you can see there, when the enemies of God come in, and then in the end, God's people become the enemies of God. If you want to be a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. This is what happens in the end. In the beginning, the world comes in a bit, the enemy just a bit. And then not the holy wins in the end, but the unholy. And the holy becomes impure. And then that's what happened there. And then we see why the priests are degraded, because they mixed with the other wives, with the other women, and they brought them in. In verse 28, there's another example. And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. Even the high priest wasn't accepted, an exception. And in his family was Sanballat, this enemy of Nehemiah. It is really bad what happened there. In another chapter, you can see that Tobiah not just lived in the storage room. He wasn't just the son-in-law, but he also gave his daughter and his son. He tried to gain many people to win them over. And they came to Nehemiah and said, Tobiah is so good. He's not that bad anyway. And Tobiah was really evil. The thing he did and said, he was really evil. But they didn't see it. It was so mixed. Suddenly it was so close by, they didn't even notice that the enemy was living with them, that they were supporting the enemy. And that is what the Lord says in verse 9, in Nehemiah 2, verse 9. Oh, that is Malachi 2, verse 9. Yeah. They let the things of the enemy into the house. Yeah, suddenly they look at the people. They let the enemy in Malachi 2, verse 9. Yeah, they show partiality in the law. Yeah, I was admonished to not be to lose and don't just invite anyone. And this person is nice and friendly. We can't do that, especially in the church, the holy church. Yeah, the Lord has to decide who comes in. Sometimes it really hurts me for some people. If I had to decide, I would just say, oh, come join the conference. But the Lord says no. No, and he says, don't invite this person. That's really hard for me because I really like this person. And I think there would be a good brother. You could turn them. Why can't that person come? But when the Lord says no, we have to be faithful and keep his commandment and don't just look at the person and have partiality. Sometimes we see what happens. Then the Lord has to leave the priesthood. Then the priesthood becomes the enemy of God. Don't have partiality. Look at the person. And Nehemiah had a very good dealing with the world's influence. In verse 25, he talks about how he dealt with the people who brought the women. In Nehemiah 13, verse 25. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck them off them, and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations, there was no king like him who was beloved of his God and made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. He argued with them and hit them. I can't even imagine that you go that far. That's how we should deal with the world. When these things come in, when this love to things we do comes up, we have to contend. Don't just accept it. It's not that bad. Yeah, we have to say, no, I'm against this. Yeah, you have to crucify it. Yeah, when the thoughts come, crucify them. Don't let them in. It's a fight. Yeah, as a priest, you have to fight that the enemy doesn't come in, and that you stay holy and pure, that you serve the Lord with all your strength and might. These verses are such a warning. Yeah, they left the way. It's your fall that many fell. That's exactly what happens. Yeah, if I let the world come in, then it has an influence on people around me. Yeah, that's Malachi 2. Yeah, you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. They took different paths that were not from the Lord. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. The Lord will judge. If the Lord, the priests make contemptible, then it has to be judged. Let us take this warning and really learn how to deal with these things. Another point that is in Nehemiah, but I don't have that much time, that they didn't take care of the Levites. Let us fight and give room to the enemy and hold on to the covenant with the Lord.